There are a few thoughts that I want to mention. There is also a scripture that I'd like to read, and it goes quite a bit along with what Brother Jokes was saying. It's found in Revelation, the 21st verse. And it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city with the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his God, his people, and they shall, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Earlier today, I was sitting there at the hotel. We were talking with Brother and Sister Azianoji about the different waves of revival that have come. And there was a man by the name of Bartholomew who wrote a book on the 1906 outpouring in Azusa Street. And he titled his book, "The Wave, Another Wave of Revival." And I think it was a prophetic utterance by the man, because God's move comes in waves. God's move comes in waves. And it got me to thinking, I grew up in California, and, you know, out there on the coast and everything, we have what we call the surfer mentality. That was the era I grew up in, hippie and surfers. And one thing I know is the surfer, he goes out there, he waits for that wave. He waits for that wave, and he's got to catch it at the right time in order to ride it to the full maximum of whatever it is he wants to get out of it. I'm not a surfer, so I don't know what to get out of it, except for the thrill of it. But about what I do know is that God comes in waves.
Amen.
He comes in waves. And, you know, this was really made something, was really made known to me years ago when we were in a Czech conference. And the Spirit of God began to move. And the only way I can explain it is that the unction, the anointing, how many hours was it? It was 5 hours, 6 hours, something, 7 hours. But it would lull and then another wave. And I could almost watch it come from the back of the room, you know, as it was breaking over. And what I am telling you all about this for is I believe that we are now coming again to another wave.
Praise God.
Amen. Another
Amen.
Move of God.
Hallelujah.
And in the past, with the waves of God that have come, they have lasted maybe at the most 30 to 60 days, maybe 90 days. If they lasted that long, then that was really miraculous. But what happened is that men got involved in it and began to organize it and began to utilize it for what they thought was a good purpose, a good reason. But what it did is it squelched the spirit, and they ended up with an organizational, denominational method of worshiping or fellowshipping with God, and we have that same propensity. There has never been a group of people who have overcome it. If there has been a group of people who have overcome it, we wouldn't be here. We'd all be sons of God. But there has been no group of people. Individuals, yes. There have been individuals who have demonstrated the reality of being able to be moving under the auspices and the authority of God. Amen. But there has never been a collective group of people who have been able to maintain their position with God long enough. I believe that those of us that have come at this particular time, to fellowship and to touch the hem of God's garment. I trust that's why you're here. But we are pre-programmed with regards to conferences. We are pre-programmed. We have been in so many conferences, and we have an expectation of them going a certain way and so forth and so on. And then we come out of it, and we seemingly fall back into the same rut that we were in before we came to the conference. And if we allow this to happen individually, now it's an individual thing, it's really not so much collective, but if we as an individual allow that to happen, you and I will miss it. We will miss it. I do not believe that we have the time to come back around again. You can believe it or you don't need to believe it. It's up to you. I do not believe that we have the time.
That's right.
To come around to it again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. As far as I am concerned, and what I see in the world and the places that I'm going, and how God is stirring the people with the unction and the anointing of the word that comes, tells me that we are on the verge of that wave, of that wave breaking. And when I sense that, I see that, I want to be a part of it. I want to be involved in it. I want it to be the total epitome of what it is that I want to do. That's what I want to do. I want to be involved in it. Mm-hmm. And I want to help anybody and everybody who has the same desire to be in that position, in that place. So if we come in here with the same ideas, with the same thoughts, and we go out of here with those same ideas and those same thoughts, we will be the losers. We will not achieve, we will not have what it is or what it was that God wanted to give us. And there's something else that comes with this type of situation, and that is the need for radical change. If you do not understand or you do not sense the aspect of that reality of radical change, if you don't sense it in your lifestyle, what you're involved in, what you're doing, what takes your time, what takes your focus, what takes your life and your energy, the things that you're pushing for in achievement and whatnot, if you do not see the need for those things to change, then it's not a problem. You just continue on doing what it is you're doing. But I am finding in my life that there has to be radical changes. There has to be things that have to be different.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that is one of the things that God is speaking to us as a people. Because God is identifying the field that hides the pearl. He's identifying it. And what was required of the man who wanted the field is that he had to sell all that he had. Hallelujah. Now, you can't really manufacture these things. You know, I can do this and I can do that. Well, you can. But the fact of the matter is, if you believe it and you sense the need of it, and you believe in the reality of God, you need to ask God to change your circumstances. You need to ask God. You know, you need to ask God. And you ask God to change your circumstances, you go to work on Monday morning, you find yourself fired. Or you come home from work and you found your house burned down.
Oh, yes.
And these are radical things that I'm just throwing out there for you. But the fact of the matter is, these are radical things that God will do to change your set of circumstances, to loose you, to do what it is that He wants you to do.
Amen.
And sometimes He doesn't make it that easy. You know what I mean? It doesn't. You go in the house and shut the door, and the car blows up. No, it can happen. Yes, sometimes it can happen. But sometimes it's you that has to do something about it. And these things are things that God will speak to you about. He's not going to lead you off there into left field somewhere out there in the blue and some weird thing happens, or blue lights, you know, or something. I don't know. But what I do know is that if we do not, there is a need for us to sense the criticalness of the time frame and the shortness of it that we are living in.
Oh, God.
There is a need for that. If you go out of here and you fall back into the same routine, hallelujah, if I do that, I am the loser. I will be the loser. You know, we were just recently on a trip, and one of the other things that is really speaking to me is God's direct involvement with what we are doing. I mean, He's involved with us. We make our plans, and we put our time and our money down, and we do these certain things to facilitate that plan that He thinks is the will of God. And in the midst of doing it, God comes in and He changes it. He changes it. And He changes it in such a way that if you're not sensitive in the Spirit to hear God, you will miss it.
Jesus.
And sometimes it's your attitude that creates the missing of God. It's your attitude that creates the missing of God. Your preconceived thought or the pre-programmed way that you respond to certain situations. And those situations are situations that are not acceptable in the aspect of being able to hear God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to maintain a proper attitude, to maintain a proper thought, maintain a proper behavior in regards to these meetings that we are in. Because, brethren, things are changing so absolutely radically. They're changing so absolutely radically. Hallelujah. And I don't want to wake up in the morning, one morning, and find the change of what we have been preaching and not have the power to do anything about it. Do you hear me? The power to do something about it. You know, I can get up and rebuke the devil all day long and go to bed and the devil is still beating me. Hallelujah. But if I have the power to do something about it, if I have the ability of God in me, and I realize the magnitude of that creative power that is in me, hallelujah, I can speak the word. And the word will not be something in my mind that is religious, or I have been pre-programmed by my experience in the church to say or to do. It will be God that
says it.
And if God says it, what force in heaven or in hell cannot abide by what it is that God says? Hallelujah. So I am trusting that in the days to come and as the word flows, there will be this direction and this administration of God to us individually as well as collectively. So praise God. I trust that we will hear the voice of God in the aspects of what it is that we are wanting to accomplish or what it is that He wants to accomplish. God bless you.